We're going to read from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, and that's on page 1171. Chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves.
Do keep the passage open at Galatians 5. Now, running a marathon is no mean feat. If you're anything like me, a couple of miles keeps you firmly sat on the sofa. But this isn't the case for Lloyd Scott. In 2002, Lloyd, a professional football goalkeeper, decided that at the age of 50, he was going to attempt to complete the London Marathon. Now, you're probably thinking, fair enough, he was a professional footballer, of course he can do that. He was pretty motivated to make it to the top. Of course, a marathon, something he's capable of. But Lloyd decided that he would complete the marathon wearing a 59-kilogram diving suit. And actually, he did remove a bit of weight from the diving suit, and that was the glass on the front of the mask so that he could breathe. So I think that's probably fair enough. We'll let him have that one. So under the burden of 59 kilograms, Lloyd completed the marathon in 5 days, 8 hours, 29 minutes, and 46 seconds. An incredible feat. Now, I'm sure none of us have been in a 59-kilogram diving suit. But I'm sure we've all carried heavy rucksacks up hills before. And it can be grueling stuff as we make our way up the side of a mountain. I guess we've arrived today. I'm thankful to see no one's come in with massive rucksacks on or a 59-kilogram diving suit. But we've probably walked in today feeling under a burden. Perhaps it's the burden of stress or anxiety, perhaps under the burden of self-approval. Maybe it's the burden of being in a new building, the community centre. Or perhaps it's just life itself is a burden, it's hard work. Or perhaps we've walked in today feeling under a spiritual burden. We feel the weight of our sin. We feel the weight of the spiritual standards of being a follower of Jesus. And we feel that there should actually be no way that we're in church today. We've had a bad week, and you feel you've been a useless Christian. Or maybe you feel that church itself actually is a burden. You'd rather be at home right now, playing in the snow, be in the warm. It's actually quite warm in here, thankfully. And you've come actually just to tick a box, to fulfill that criteria of being a Christian. Well, however you're feeling today, I'm so glad that you've made it. Because this next bit of Galatians, Paul shows us something great. And my prayer is that as we look at it this afternoon, as we consider these words, our spiritual burdens would be removed as we consider who we are in Christ. Now, on the back of your service sheet, you'll find an outline. Please do use that to follow along. So there's a lot in these 12 verses, so I'm going to focus particularly on verses 1 to 6. And in these verses, Paul gives the Galatians two options, two ways they could choose to live. And the first is this, burdened by a yoke of slavery. Have a look down to verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul highlights with the Galatians that they could easily fall into the trap of again being burdened by a yoke of slavery. Throughout Galatians, we've seen that Paul has been hammering home that gospel plus works is nonsense. Our works count for nothing, and all that is required is faith in the gospel promise. But Paul steps it up a bit here. He digs deeper into the idea of gospel plus works. He says that those who rely on it are under a yoke. Just like oxen are under the heavy yoke as they pull along a plough in a field, so too the Galatians, if they continue to rely on works, they are under a yoke, a heavy burden of slavery. And Paul gives three reasons why you really don't want this burden on your back. And the first is this, verse 3, look down. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he be obligated to obey the whole law. It requires full observance of the law. Every single command needs to be observed. Circumcision isn't enough. In fact, they can never eat anything that is unclean, never bear a grudge, always recite grace before and after supper, have no idols. The list would go on and on. It's do's and don'ts. They are under the slavery of law. Do this, do that. Now, this would be a frightening slavery. Not only does the law have huge expectations which we can never keep, but Paul has already mentioned in chapter 3 that those who are slaves to the law are in fact cursed. They have no hope. Paul gives another reason why it's a huge burden, and that is because it alienates you from Christ and his grace. Look down to verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Paul states that if they continue to justify themselves through works, they are in fact aliens to Christ. The God of the universe does not know them. They are isolated from him. They mean nothing to him. But more than this, they are cut off from his grace, from everything good. Now, in the news last week, you may have heard about the town of Brockenhurst, which lost its gas supply. I think there was some water in the gas pipes that were feeding the town. And the gas supply was cut off for 3 days. They had no central heating, no hot water. They were completely cut off from the gas supply. And this is the same for those who are under the yoke of slavery. They are completely cut off from Christ's grace. No longer will you receive any of God's riches in Christ. And the third and final reason of why this is a horrible burden to have, which Paul gives, is that it counts for nothing. Look down to verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Circumcision and observance of the law counts for nothing. Works are utterly pointless. It achieves absolutely nothing. The toil and strain that the Galatians are going through as they pull this yoke is utterly useless. Billy and Belinda are two pretty strong and powerful work cattle. Each day they're taken out into the field and a yoke is loaded across their shoulders. It's pretty heavy. It keeps them locked together so that they can pull this plough. And as they set off to the field with the farmer, and the farmer eventually arrives at this field that they want to plough, they want to turn the soil over, he lowers the plough into the ground. Billy and Belinda start moving, and actually it's a real drag. It's a toil and strain. It's a heavy burden. But Billy turns to Belinda and says, look behind you, look at the wonderful furrow you've created. And this actually keeps Belinda going for a short while. But the work is relentless. The farmer keeps shouting at them to keep working. As they're getting to the end of the field, it's getting hard work. But again, Billy turns to Belinda and says, "Look behind you." Belinda looks behind and there's wonderful furrows. It's like artwork. It looks beautiful. And Belinda smiles. She's quite pleased. Her work seems impressive. But every year passes by, she's doing the same thing. It happens over and over again. And she starts to think, is it really worthwhile? It seems relentless and only produces temporary success. But each year, she sees the beautiful furrows, and she keeps working under the slavery of the farmer. Now, the yoke of slavery can be attractive. The excitement and pride in producing good works can make it seem worthwhile. But in fact, the work is temporary. It is relentless, and in the end, it achieves nothing. The weight of keeping up with the standards is relentless. In fact, it drives you away from Christ and offers you no hope at all. So Paul is writing to a converted group. They know the gospel, but they are slowly departing from that and moving towards slavery. Same is true of us here today. Many of us know the gospel. But are we having tendencies to slip into works and slavery? Are you feeling the drag of a yoke? Is slavery creeping up on you? Maybe you're not hugely aware of yoke. It feels light. You're quite pleased with your spiritual success at the moment. You seem to be having good godly desires, and you don't seem to be failing at much. But this success is actually fueling your pride. And as you dig deeper into your desires, you realize that you're not actually serving your Heavenly Father, but you're serving yourself. You're aware also of round the corner, it's not always going to feel like this. You can see the next failure coming. So you're already trying to put lots of things in place so that when temptation comes, you can quite clearly say no. Or maybe this isn't you. Maybe your yoke feels heavy. You're very aware of your spiritual failures at the moment. And it does feel like slavery. And you're regularly thinking to yourself, I need to do this. I need to do that. I wish I could be like that person. And you're feeling worn out. And sometimes you think, is it really worth it? But you keep going because you know at some point your yoke may get lighter and you feel like you'll be doing well. If this is the case this afternoon, please flee away from that way of thinking. The burden you're putting yourself under might seem attractive, but it offers nothing. And if you continue, you may end up alienating yourself from Christ and his grace. Give up on it. And give up on it because we are offered something so much more worthwhile. Paul gives the Galatians a second option in how to live, and that's free in Christ. Free in Christ. Look down to verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Paul highlights with the Galatians that Christ's work offers us freedom. They have been set free from the yoke of slavery. They no longer need to be mastered by the law. As Lloyd Scott finished the marathon, the removal of his suit must have felt amazing. 5 days under 59 kilograms. You can imagine as his friends lifted off his shoulders, the weight is gone, the burden is gone, he probably felt suddenly free. The pressure was off. The burden had gone. Now, as followers of Christ, Paul highlights with them who they are. The yoke of slavery has gone. It has been lifted off them. They are free from it. The shackles of work-related religion have gone. And Paul gives three reasons why this freedom is so much better than the burden of slavery. And the first is this: spiritual successes and spiritual failures count for nothing. Spiritual successes and spiritual failures count for nothing. Look down to verse 6 again. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. In Galatia, false teachers had infiltrated the church. They were telling the Galatians that circumcision is important. It counts towards their salvation. It's what followers of Jesus should be doing. and that you're spiritually successful if you get circumcised. But Paul makes clear to them that this is not the case. Circumcision counts for nothing. It is utterly pointless, and it bears no meaning at all. But Paul goes on, in case there's some sat in the church who are not circumcised, who are perhaps feeling a bit left out, or that they were spiritual failures. Paul also highlights that their failure counts for nothing too. Their justification was no longer based upon their spiritual successes or failures. It in fact has no bearing on whether they're accepted or not, because it has no value. The second reason is this: all that is required is faith expressing itself through love. All that is required is faith expressing itself through love. Look down to verse 6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Simple faith in the gospel promise, like Abraham, is all that is required. Christ's work at the cross was fully sufficient. And true faith in this gospel promise will only lead to expressions of love. As the Galatians recognize Christ's love for them and the lengths he went through for them, they will simply want to mirror this sacrificial love. It's a costly love. The battle between the flesh and the spirit is hard. It is costly. It is a sacrifice. But Paul says that is how true faith is expressed, through sacrificial love. 1 John 4:10 to 11 says these words: "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." All that is required is faith expressing itself through love. So Paul showed them that spiritual success and spiritual failure count for nothing, and all that is required is faith in Christ's work. But he goes on. He gives them something more. Something more is offered to those who accept this freedom. And that is that we have a certain hope. We have a certain hope. Look down to verse 5. "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope." As the Galatians placed their trust in Christ's death, they can know with utter confidence that one day they will receive full righteousness. And they do this with the Spirit's help. Now, often we think of hope, we think of it as something we would like, but we're not certain it will happen. For example, you might say, "I hope that I get home safely after the service." And we say this because we know we might not. We might slide on the snow. A car may plow into the back of us. We can't be certain. But the hope that Paul uses here isn't how we might use it. The hope Paul uses isn't an airy, fairy hope, but a hope that we can have utter confidence in. The Galatians can be certain that they will attain this righteousness, that one day they will meet Jesus. And as he looks at them, he will see righteousness. He won't see a spiritual failure, but he'll see someone who is clothed in Christ's righteousness. There's an old story about Abraham Lincoln. One day Abraham Lincoln went down to a slave block to buy a slave girl. And as the slave girl was there, she saw a white man bidding for Abraham Lincoln, and she thought, "Oh no, this is going to be someone else who's just going to abuse me." Abraham Lincoln won the bid on this slave girl, and as he was walking away with his property, he said, "Young lady, you are free." She said, "What does this mean?" "It means you are free." "Does that mean," she said, "that I can say whatever I want to say?" Lincoln said, "Yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say." "Does that mean," she said, "that I can be whatever I want to be?" Lincoln said, "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does that mean I can go wherever I want to go?" He said, "Yes, you can go wherever you want to go." And the girl, with tears streaming down her face, said to Abraham Lincoln, "Then I'll go with you." Just like this slave girl, each of us have been offered freedom, freedom in Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he bought us freedom. But are we in fact like this slave girl and saying, what does it mean? Well, Jesus says it means you are free. It means your spiritual failures and spiritual successes count for nothing. It means that all that is required is faith in the gospel promise. It means that you have a secure and certain future in glory. Most of us here today are slipping into slavery. And the reason we're doing this is because we're forgetting what we have. Christ has paid our guilt and shame. Christ's love for us is unconditional. He loves us despite our failures and successes. And each of us have a home in glory with him. We have been given freedom in Christ. We have been given his righteousness. We have been given this secure and eternal home. A home where there'll be no burdens, no mourning, no crying, no pain. And we will see our Saviour. We will see the nail marks in his wrist. And he will embrace us. And he will embrace us, not because of anything we have done, but because of his redemptive work. Put your faith in this. Isn't the offer of freedom far more glorious than the offer of slavery? Christianity is not restrictive. It offers freedom. Friends, keep your eyes fixed on your future glory. Stand firm in your freedom and keep running. Keep running, looking at your future home, which Christ has secured for you. So just like the Galatians, we have two offers in how we can live. We can be slave or we can be free. What would you choose? Let me close us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much of the offer of freedom in you. We thank you so much for all that Christ has done. We thank you that our spiritual failures and spiritual successes count for nothing. Please help us to simply put our faith in you. And please may we express our faith through works of love, recognizing what you have achieved for us at the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.